Okay, so we'll discuss this seminar on the science of Bhagavad Gita. Or, science in Bhagavad Gita. That's the idea. Now, the point is that people think that Bhagavad Gita is a religious book. But it's not the case. It is more of philosophical. It is philosophy rather than religion. If you ask religious book, you can say Puranas, Bhagavad Puran and all those. They seem to be religious. But if you read Bhagavad Gita, it's very neutral. Doesn't claim this religion or that religion. And there are philosophical concepts which are applicable universally. And also there is science. But you might have read Bhagavad Gita, but you might not have encountered any science there. So what's going on? The point is that every verse of Bhagavad Gita can be translated into minimum 10 ways. If you go in Sanskrit, I'm not saying this. This is said by Madhvacharya. So because who is speaking Gita? God. And God doesn't like to speak much. He speaks much, but whatever he speaks, it is less words but more meaning. That is, that Rupa Goswami writes in his book. This is the character of a great personality. Fools will speak more, content will be this much. But wise people will speak less, but the content will be more. This is Alp Shabdam Analp Artham. That's the idea. Less words, more meaning. So when God is speaking, He speaks many levels. So in one verse, there is philosophy, there is science, and there is also linguistics in Gita, there's psychology, there's so many things. So that's what I'm going to discuss today. So you might say, it's not there in Gita. But the point is, it is there in commentaries of various acharyas, previous acharyas. They have explained all these things. So let's see, what do you want to ask? Something? Okay. So Gita is a book which is having 17 names. Which other scripture is having 17 names? Which other scripture is having so many interpretations, so many levels to its verses? That is why everybody glorifies Gita. Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanuja, every acharya who claims to be an acharya, he must write a commentary on Gita. Otherwise, he'll not be accepted as bona fide. Any bona fide sampradaya, you have to write a commentary on Gita. So these are the names, and one of the names is Bhranti Nashini. This is a good name. This is from Vaishnavya Tantra. Bhranti Nashini means which destroys confusions, bewilderment, all these. Tatvarth Gyan Manjari, which will help you to know tattva. Tattva means truth. Tattva doesn't mean religion. It's translated as reality. Vedyam Vastavam Vastu Atra Sivshavadam. What is reality? Reality means that now whatever we are perceiving, that's real, but that's not complete perception. We are perceiving less. You know why? Because we are absorbed in matter. That's the idea. So when we see cell phone, we see cell phone. That's all. But that's not the case. When a wise person sees cell phone, he will also see factories. He'll see people working there. He'll see people exploited by those owners. He'll see Mother Earth, from where these materials are coming. He'll see petroleum. He'll see entire cosmos in this cell phone. He is aware. That's called awareness. For people who are absorbed in matter, their consciousness is contracted. They can't see. So that is why scriptures call the vision of us people. People who are in sense gratification, their vision is in illusion. Illusion means they don't perceive reality as it is. They dissect reality. Half reality is not reality. No. Half chicken is no chicken. You don't get anything. So that's nice names. And this is glorification of Bhagavad Gita. Oh, it's in Hindi. You can read all of it. It's got in. Yeah, you So it said, Gita, this is said by Shiva to Parvati. Gita Gyanam Shrutam Naiva, anybody who has not read, has not even heard Gita. Sadeva Abhyasa Yogata, and they're practicing yoga. Moksha Michchati Mudatam. If he wants liberation, he's fool. Yati Balaka Hasam Hasyatam. Even renunciates and a child will laugh on him. So all these spiritual institutions, yoga is famous, no? If they don't, you can quote this verse. Have you read Gita? Okay, no, then see this verse, you know. People laugh, children laugh at you. This is how much Gita is so important, no? Gita Shastram na janati. Anybody who doesn't know Gita, na adham tata parojana, he is the most fallen. Dik prarabdham, fire to his destiny, to his worship, to his charity, he is condemned according to scriptures. Why? Because he doesn't have wisdom. Krishna, Varaha Puran speaks about glories of Gita. Skanda Puran speaks. You can read here. I'm just making the point that all scriptures read about Gita. So what's so special about Gita? This is the speciality about Gita. Now you might say, what is this? This is female. Beautiful female. But the point is, I think she's a supermodel.
Cindy Crawford?
Yeah. How do you know?
Huh?
How do you know she's supermodel?
If you have put in history, she has to be famous.
Okay. Yeah, Cindy Crawford, yeah. So she is seductive, she is sexy, maybe to some people. But it depends how you see this female. If you are lusty, for you, she is seductive. If you are spiritual, for us, she is a flesh. That's all. Nothing more than white flesh. That's all. Nothing more than that. If you are a child, she is a mother. If you are an elderly person, she is a child. So it depends on your perception. Who is she? That's what is Gita all about. Gita is trying to change your perception. How do you perceive this word? That's why I was telling, perceiving cell phone, it makes a difference, no? A wise person perceives cell phone and a stupid person. So that's what is Gita all about. Gita is not about sentiment, Gita is not about religion, Gita is not about fanaticism. Gita is all about perception. And that is why it's divided. Gita is divided into three parts. First six chapters, second six, and third six. So first chapter to six chapters is talking about Nirnay. Nirnay means decision. First six chapters are helping us to decide what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, what we should do, what we should not do, what we should accept, what we should reject. That's Nirnay. Second six chapters is Paribhasha. Paribhasha means definition. It's defining terms. Most often we know things, but we know in a wrong way. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. I think our entire life goes like that. Uh-huh. We know what's life, but we have our own definition of life. Mm-hmm. So we miss the whole point. That is illusion. So it defines basic things. And third is drishtikon. Drishtikon means perception. How do you perceive? So is there any religion here? No. It's and religious people will find this class, what's happening, you know. Mm-hmm. But this is all about Gita. People who have given commentaries on Gita, many other gurus, they have actually not entered the spirit of Gita. So, why I'm telling you this? Because this is what is philosophy all about. There were three philosophers who brought revolution in philosophy. You know this word, paradigm shift? Mm-hmm. You know this? They brought a paradigm shift. So, first was Descartes. Who gave the philosophy of dualism? Because previous to him, people were atheistic, or they were largely materialistic. Greek philosophers and all those, French, Europe. But then he brought mind. Okay, there's something beyond matter. So he did that. That was one revolution. Second revolution was with this person, Ludwig Wittgenstein. He told, well, that's okay. But what I want to tell is, people, why there is so much confusion in philosophy? One person debating, another left, right, you know why? Because terms are not defined. So he brought another evolution, redefining terms. Descartes brought a revolution in philosophy, discrimination between matter and mind. He brought a revolution defining terms. Thomas Kuhn, he brought a revolution, next revolution he introduced his term paradigm, Thomas Kuhn. And he brought this revolution, that people, different ages, people think in different ways. And that is why there are different philosophies. And all these three people, these three concepts are there in Gita. Nirnaya, Paribhasha, Drishtikon. It's there. So entire philosophy is there in Gita. At least principles. Not the structure what they have built on that. Principles are there. It's coming from Gita. This is where we start science in Gita. I started from philosophy, not really hardcore science, because science came from philosophy. Science was called as natural philosophy. Isn't it? Newton's book, Mathematica Principia, Philosophica Natura, what's that word? He named his book Principles of Mathematics, Philosophy of Nature. Scientists were not called scientists that time. That term was not there. They were called philosophers, natural philosophers. Mm-hmm. You know this, no? So, this is what is philosophy. Okay. Entire Western philosophy, Gita summarizes in one sentence. That is Krishna. Krishna is absolute. Mm-hmm. You can love Krishna. You can glorify him. He's the most intelligent person. This is 6.21. Yam lavdva cha param labham manyate na adhikam tata. This is philosophy. After achieving that, nothing else remains to be achieved. This is the goal of philosophy, isn't it? Every philosopher wants to find a philosophy which, after which, nothing else remains to be known. No, supreme satisfaction. That's what is philosophy all about. If after doing so much philosophy, you still are craving for something else, then that's not a good philosophy. You're not satisfied. Any philosophy cannot give you satisfaction. What's it all about? So this is philosophy. But Western philosophy has not come to this point. Western philosophy generally ends in three things. Krishna says, what is that verse? Samshaya Atma Vinashyati. Anybody knows that verse? Ashraddha. Samshya Atma Vinashyati. I just lost that thrust. Anyway, Krishna says that three people will get destroyed. Who always doubts, skeptics, who doesn't have faith, Ashraddha, and who is materialistic.
9.3 Prabhu?
Yeah, I think so. I have no idea. I just forgot. So, Western philosophy generally ends in skepticism. Ashraddhana tapasa
pranayama
paranta
pa. Devotional process.
No, that's difference. So, generally Western philosophy ends in skepticism. Isn't it? They become skeptics. Whether word is there or not, their solipsism and all those. Or Western philosophy ends in materialism or atheism. That's the idea. Krishna says, real philosophy is after attaining that concept, you don't need to attain anything. That's a good idea. So Krishna summarizes philosophy, the goal of philosophy, in one sentence. And this is good analysis. Eastern philosophy, he counteracts all Western philosophies. All Western philosophers, by one sentence, they are gone. They are finished. Because whatever they are doing, their end is in skepticism, atheism, materialism. What they achieve? Nothing, no? They are not satisfied. They should be satisfied, no? What you will do after doing so much intellectual exercises if you are not happy and satisfied? So he just defeats all Western philosophers.
So you are saying that those Western philosophies don't have satisfaction or happiness as it?
No. Actually, no. Because Nietzsche was a philosopher.
Yeah.
Nietzsche. So he told, if you want to know truth, if you want to happiness, go to religion. If you want to know truth, come to me. He demarcated a line That goal of philosophy is not happiness. It is truth. But then he missed the point. Because the goal of truth should be happiness and satisfaction. So actually he was himself confused. He got confused. And he himself got in dilemma. That my God, if I find truth, and if I don't find happiness by this truth, then what's the use of the truth? And later years he became, he ended up in psychiatric patient, you know. He got psychosis. You know this, no? Yeah, he became mad. Nietzsche. He became mad. Yeah, he really became mad. He got depressed. He got really, because his philosophy was happiness, he already finished, you know, he got depressed. Pessimism. So Krishna defeated entire Western, all Western philosophers are in this one line, they are gone. All Eastern philosophies he defeats in one verse. 16:8. Asatyam apratishtham te jagad ahuranishwaram aparasparam sambhutam ke mannat kama hitukam. Krishna says, some philosophies say this word is asatyam. Asatyam means?
False.
Which philosophy? Mayavad.
Mayavad.
Some philosophers say it is apratishtham. This is apratishtham. Apratishtham say means no foundation. No foundation. Which philosophy? No foundation to this word. Vishayashika and Nyaya. Vishayashika and Nyaya philosophers, they say word is going on no need of God. It's going on itself. So those Eastern philosophies, Mayavad, Vishayashika, Nyaya. Some people say there's no God, Anishwaram, Charvak. Atheistic philosophers. Some people say Aparaspara Sambhutam. There is God, there is nature, but there's no link. Sankhya. Some people say, Kim mannat kama hitukam. What else is there except lust? This is modern philosophy. So Krishna says these are all demons. He refutes 16 chapters, then he takes each philosophy. He just finishes. In one verse, he summarizes all philosophy. Who can do that? Only Krishna. This is about philosophy. Okay, Gita is psychology. Now let's from philosophy come to mind. Psychology, no? Intellect, now mind. I'm coming down. Intellect, mind, and then matter. So we dealt intellect philosophy. Now psychology, this is 18:14, the verse in psychology. Krishna says, this verse is important. Adhishthanam tatha karta karanam cha pritak vidam vividaischa pritak cheshta daivam cha eva panchamam. Krishna says, in any action, there are five factors. He says, no, this verse. Adhishthana means place of work. Karta means doer. Karna means instrument. Cheshta means various desires. And daiva means God or destiny. That makes sense. But in this verse, there is full psychology. You know why? Because every word in modern psychology has a field. Every word. This is Krishna. Adhishthanam, modern psychology, people are studying social psychology, developmental psychology, reflex, behaviorism. Daivam is subconscious phenomena, which Freud gave. Daivam you can translate as destiny, or those things which are not in your control, subconscious.
Cheshtam is behavior,
karnam. Yeah, karnam is instrument. So entire field of psychology which deals with reflex, reflexive psychology. So that instrument is body. And it largely is controlled by reflexes. It's not under control. No, 90% of phenomena in our bodies are not in our control. Goes by reflex. So that's what modern psychologists are trying to read.
Karta is developmental psychology?
Yeah, karta means doer.
Okay.
So doer, what happens when you're a child, when you're adult? Okay. Developmental psychology, how you develop.
Oh, okay.
Or the doer with his actions when he advances in age, how he develops, what happens. So that comes from karta. They're focusing on this part. Karta.
So what happened to when you were a kid, like some.
Yeah, all these things.
So how will you react when you're a kid?
Yeah.
How will you react? Or sometimes some kids like have some like bad childhood.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. So like that. So Krishna says all these factors together will play role in psychology. If you want to separately, you can do that. And this is what is in one verse, psychology. I told you Krishna speaks less word and more meanings. He doesn't like to speak more. So, if you understand, that's good. If you don't understand, then you get lost, you know. That's all. Go to devotees. Don't just get lost, go to devotees. Okay, then there's one more verse, 1835. It's talking about psychology. It's talking about various diseases in mind. So, swapnam, bhayam, shokam, vishadam. Krishna is talking about tamagun. So, he's talking characteristics of tamagun, mode of ignorance. He's talking dreams, swapnam, bhayam is fear, shokam is lamentation, vishadam is moroseness, sorrow, depression, and madam means madness. Mm-hmm. These are all qualities of tamagun. Mm-hmm. All diseases of psychiatry, of psychology, is in this one verse. See, swapnam, delusion, hallucination, schizophrenia, psychosis, bhayam, paranoia, shokam, depression, vishadam, bipolar disorders, madam, mania, insanity. This is what is psychology, isn't it? This is what is psychiatry, isn't it? But psychiatrists do not know that everything is coming from tamagun. That's the insight. If you reduce tamagun, your psychiatric problems are solved. You don't need medicines. Mm. But they don't know this fact because they don't accept tamagun.
Isn't it?
So Krishna says there are foods in tamagun, you know, food in satogun, actions in tamagun. If you simply modulate the life of the person, food, actions in satogun, you can treat any psychiatric disorder. You don't need medicines.
People,
such a good insight.
People think it's their freedom to do whatever they want to do. They want to eat whatever they want to eat, they want to sleep.
Yeah, so the point is that this is a good, very good insight. Very good insight. And, this is good. There is biology in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Aham Bijam Pradapita. I am the source of Bija, means consciousness. So, he's refuting artificial life. You can't create artificial life. It's impossible. There was a project started in Japan, but they just stopped it because it's impossible to create artificial life. Hmm. It's impossible. They can't even define life. What to create life, no? There's no definition of life. Because source is Krishna. And Krishna is undefinable. So life is undefinable. Anything which comes from Krishna, you can't define. Hmm. You can't define cosmos. Coming from Krishna, you can't define life. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. And then Krishna is also against evolution. He's against so many things now. So he says, he gives a very good anti-argument for evolution. Mm. Generally we know so many things, no? But he gives this argument. He says, Brahm Sutra Padashaiva Hetu Madhvirvinishchita. Vedanta Sutra is presented with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Now, he gives this concept of cause and effect. So, see, if you just think about that, where evolution is wrong. Because we say fossils, we say dinosaurs, birds, and whatever, then monkeys, then humans, you know. And then there are different fossils in different layers. So, we are evolved. Okay, fine. But the question is, how do you know that if man is evolving from monkeys, there's a link between monkey and man? That you don't know. So, monkeys' fossils are found in one layer, top layer humans, below them dinosaurs, for example. So, how do you know that monkeys evolved to humans? There has to be some cause and effect, no? If you said this, okay, fine. Okay, Siddharth Prabhu and you. Mm-hmm. Because you are sitting after him, so you came from him. That's not a good logic. To prove that you are linked, you have to prove that Siddharth was born from him. Mm-hmm. Cause and effect. Right. Isn't it?
But they explain that various things like survival of the fittest, they modify.
No, that's okay. But that's not evolution.
Mutation.
No, that's not evolution. That is
nature.
That is survival. Evolution, actually evolution has there are two types of evolutions. One is evolution from one species to another. One is evolution of various characteristics. So when you talk of survival, you're talking of evolution of characteristics. If it is cold, you develop thick skin. That's it. If you can't fly, you develop more feathers. But what about speciation? One species changing to another.
There's no proof that one has...
Nobody has shown...
Yeah.
It's speculation. It's their own story. We have to show, na? You have to show that the child is born from the mother. There has to be a causal link. This is called causal link. Yeah. There is no causal link. It is their story. That is why many scientists say, scientists might find evidence, but then based on that evidence, every scientist has his own story.
Uh-huh.
It's called story. It's not called theory. They have their own. Anybody can interpret evidence in their own way, no? You can interpret. Yeah, isn't it? Just like this James Chadwick experiment.
Which experiment?
Chadwick experiment that he sent radiations and then radiations bounced. So he concluded an aluminium foil that there was a nucleus. You know this, no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He threw out rays and then all this.
Most of them went.
And then he thought, atoms are empty most and nucleus and then electrons are evolving. That was his story. But now we know his story is not right. But after quantum physics, there's no electron. There's no proton. It's just clouds. It's just possibilities, no? Same experiments, but different interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
You got the point? So fossils are okay. We don't argue with fossils. But we argue, is there any causal link? That's the idea. You got my point? So Krishna raises this point, cause and effect. And with this, he refutes evolution. He reveals evolution. Krishna is superb. He knows. You have to be impressed by him. He's quite impressive, no? If you're intelligent, you'll be impressed. If you're sentimental, still you'll be impressed. He's beautiful also. Okay, there's physics. Second chapter, 16th verse. You see this verse? You recognize this verse? Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sato. What is this verse? Prabhupada says, what is soul can never perish.
Body.
What is temporary
and what is permanent.
Can never perish. And what is temporary always perishes. What is permanent can never perish.
Mm-hmm.
That soul is about soul and body. Prabhupada talks. This shloka is talking about soul and body. But there is physics, law of conservation of energy. You see asat. Asat means not existent. Bhavo means what exists. Na, if you add here, which doesn't exist. What is non-existence can never exist. Asato vidyate na bhavo. You have to transfer this na here. What is non-existence, asato, can never, can, vidyate means can, na means never, bhavo means exist. What is non-existence can never exist. What is existing, sataha, can never, never exist. That means it always exists. So what is this? Energy can never neither be created nor destroyed.
So energy is always
existing, so it will always exist.
Okay.
Law of conservation of energy, law of conservation of mass, it is there.
So either material or spiritual, all energy will
exist. All, every will. What is not there, it's not there. What's there, it can never perish.
So everything exists.
Yeah, everything exists. Mm-hmm. So this law of conservation, this there in Gita. This. I think Newton just stole it from you.
Actually, lot of.
Yeah, I know. I have a seminar in this. All knowledge is coming from Vedas, you know. They got the manuscripts and they were just reading that and they got the ideas and they. I have a full seminar. Today I was supposed to present that.
But tomorrow we should present in that.
But maybe, yeah. Let's see.
Maybe we'll see.
Yeah.
Not administered in your Bhakti Riksha.
No, Bhakti Riksha.
No, that we'll talk philosophy, direct. Maybe in that. All the science stuff.
It's like a sensational slide. Like,
okay, good. I'll
like, no genes.
okay. I've written a book where I'm showing that there's no genes. Genes do not exist. That book is proving that. But I didn't bring that. It was too complex for general people to understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's a book. Genes do not exist, simply. It's a bluff. People are talking about genes. They do not exist. Science is coming.
It's just a term.
It's a term. Just like people used to use electrons, but they don't exist now.
Yeah. Oh, electrons don't exist?
It's a cloud. It's a possibilities. They exist and do not exist. Like, they're not a discrete particle. You can't pinpoint.
Just like proton.
But genes do not exist. Like, there are no genes, first of all. I'll see. Oh, that's another. I'll talk to you about that. Okay. There's so many things, traits and all this. But okay. I've written in that book everything. So this is law of conservation of energy. And there's medicine. Entire medicine in one verse. You see this? 617, Yukta Arvyara Sicha Yukta Chesta. Okay, fine. Krishna says, you have to be balanced in your vihar, in your actions. You have to be balanced in your actions. You have to be balanced in your sleeping and eating. So Krishna, this is medicine. Medicine means balance. That's it, medicine, no?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about allopathy. I'm talking about the subject medicine. Ayurveda, if there's one word to Ayurveda, that is balance. You have to modern people also talk, no? Balance your diet. Sorry, I just got lost. Yeah, balance your diet. Balance your routine.
Sure, like Bhagavad Gita. What is it all about? What is the best way to answer this question? We are talking, he's a Catholic. What is the whole scripture about? What is the difference? Like, he was asking me, what is it actually?
Scriptures? Our philosophy?
Yeah.
You can tell now. Our philosophy, our scriptures are dealing with three words. I told Nirnaya, decision, Paribhasha, redefining terms, and Drishtikon, perception. This is our philosophy. That's all. It can be in three words. And that makes sense, no? That makes sense. This is all Gita about. If you want to answer in a very neutral way,
yeah.
And then you can develop. If you directly tell our scriptures are talking about Krishna and devotion, then we will say, what, you know?
Talking about some
Yeah. Then they will say, oh, it's your faith. You know? They'll say, it's your faith. So that doesn't have. You have to start from here. And then he will listen. Yeah, it's good. This is good. Nirnaya means decision. It helps you to decide. Paribhasha means redefining terms. And then Drishtikon.
Perception.
Changing your perception. Once you understand Nirnaya and Paribhasha, your perception will change. And remember Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, that's a good.
So if you remember Cindy Crawford, you can remember these three words.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide whether you have to take her, enjoy her or not. You have to redefine your words. What do you mean by seduction? What do you mean by sex?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to change your perception. So that's the idea.
Sometimes it's like this. You know what is right, what is wrong is based on Gita. But like deep conditioning is there. Or like you're used to. So then that will. So that's sometimes create frustration. Like,
yeah, that's
I
why.
Like,
yeah, that's why you need knowledge.
Okay.
You need knowledge. You have to convince yourself.
Okay.
To convince yourself. If you see a beautiful female, naturally your mind gets attracted.
Mm-hmm.
There's lust. So then you forget knowledge. That destroys knowledge. But if you're convinced, if your perception is, this is flesh. That's all. It's nothing more than that. So you don't get attracted, simple. So probably you have to be convinced that beauty is not skin deep. Beauty is skin deep, yeah. Beauty is not nothing to do with, see, for normal people, beauty is body. But for wise people, beauty is character.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we see some females, we think, you know, okay, fine. Bodily, they are beautiful. But actually, they are not beautiful. Because real beauty lies in the character and purity. So they are not beautiful. So then mind will not get attracted. Mind will not get attracted to bad things. It's the nature of mind.
Mm.
Mind wants perfection. Mind wants something good. So if you redefine terms and if you can redefine terms, okay, that's not good, that's bad. But it should be defined logically, not just sentimentally. Then mind will not agree. So then you can see, you know, that female, she doesn't have any character, no purity, all selfishness.
Hmm.
No, they're selfish, they want to their own interest, you know.
Yeah.
And who wants to get attracted to such person?
That's true. That's a very nice point.
So that is perception.
Yeah. So it's more reading and more understanding.
Yeah, you have to understand. You have to change your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Then things will go. like this. What I just told. Okay. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.